Gosh, I gotta speak now. I'm all. That was just cruel of y'all back there to do that to me. My name's Logan Williams. I'm a very grateful meth addict, recovered meth addict, and alcoholic. And I'm an overcomer. August 11th, 2021. Just had a radical experience with the Holy Spirit. He saved me. Found my way to Serenity Church, and I'm just so grateful for Serenity Church and for this place. Just want to welcome everyone. If it's your first time here or first time in a long time, man, we just want to say welcome home. We love you. We mean that. We are just so blessed to be able to be here and speak into your life, watch miracle after miracle after miracle, radically transformed lives just crunk out here at Serenity Church, and we just love it. Hey, we're going to pass the baskets right now. We like to say, don't give to a church, give through a church. We have lots of things that we support and lots of things going on here. Shay mentioned it all. There's other ministries that we support. The baskets are going, or if you don't have cash, you can just scan the QR code or text the word give to that number on the screen. Just want to say thank you for your generosity. I just honor you guys who are faithful. Thank you so much. We couldn't do it without you. And yes, so Shay sort of gave the modified version of what he said. He called me and I was all excited about Mother's Day. That's not really how it went down. I'm just plugging away on idolatry and I'm about to just come. Oh my gosh, we have so many idols, we don't even realize it. And I'm going to just come in and just smash us all in the face. And then I just had to pivot right in the middle and bring a feely-good Mother's Day. And let's just be real, that's really not my lane. It's really not my lane. I'm more of a let's challenge people. But we're going to see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. And honestly, I was just thinking what we should do. And so I just want to kind of look at motherhood kind of biblically, just sort of define it as best we can. And then instead of looking at here's all these ways you can be a good mom, because after thinking about that for a while, I just kind of think that'll either put more weight on people who don't need it, or it'll make, those that it doesn't put the weight on, it'll just make them more self-righteous than they already are. So instead, let's just attempt to lift up our eyes and just look at the beauty of God, to the Lord, the creator of all things, the creator of mothers, the creator of motherhood, the guy that designed it all perfectly, and just see how we can grow in the confidence of his love and his grace and his mercy, that we could just find a way to simply rest in him rather than feel the weight of a position that honestly is impossible. We make motherhood in our minds something that's impossible to attain. And so, you know, the Bible talks about biological mothers, and it talks about spiritual mothers too. It's interesting because in the Bible, it's like a reflection. Motherhood is sort of a reflection of one of the natures and characters of God. We learn it's like the nature and character of God. That's what God is like. And there are all these feminine like illustrations and pictures of how God nurtures and loves his people. And it's tied to what motherhood is. It's like it's a nurturing role in God's creation. And in Matthew 23:37, it says this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered you and gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, yet you are not willing." Like, he's talking about kind of a wayward kid here, right? He's not saying, hey man, you guys are doing exactly his plan. I mean, look at, he's saying the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to him. Man, he's saying, man, how often had I just wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her brood, and yet you were not willing. That's not like dad talk right there. Dad talk's going to be like, get in line, you know, get it right. God is saying, but man, I'm looking at you, and you guys are wilding out like we all have. We've wilded out in life. And he said, then all I want to do is put you under my wings, and all I want to do is try to protect you. All I want to do is just nurture you and tell you it's going to be okay. And this is repeated throughout the scriptures, like this imagery, okay, of a baby breastfeeding is used as an illustration of how God nurtures us Even in like 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul says, this is how they nurtured and loved church plants in the first century in Thessalonica. He says, it's the illustration. He's like, did we not come to you, lead you, love you like a mother breastfeeding her children? Like, what an illustration of like this slow, calm, nurturing act full of love and tender mercy. And that's the illustration here. Like, that's what we're seeing here. There's a kind of picture of God's power and might that's only seen in the nurturing nature of mothering. That's only seen in motherhood. And I think it's important to note here that if you do not have biological children, okay, that does not mean you can't still fulfill the role that God designed you to fill. In fact, when the Bible talks about mothers, it acknowledges the biological mothers, but there are spiritual mothers as well. There's a sort of spiritual parallel that you're called to as a spiritual mother. And in Genesis chapter 3, interestingly enough, Adam calls Eve, Eve, because she was the mother of all living things. And what's interesting to me about that is when he calls her that in Genesis 3, she doesn't have any, they don't have kids yet. Her children weren't born until like the next chapter. Yet Eve is called the mother of all living things. And so Eve is nurturing all living things. This is a picture of the character of God for all living things to see. She is a nurturer by nature. God is a nurturer by nature. I mean, he's got many natures, but nurturing is one of his strong attributes. And so here's a scripture that I really like. It is Mark 10, 29 and 30. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Here's why I love that, because it's saying, let's say it's sometime in the past, something went wrong with your biological mother, your nurturing mother. For whatever reason, it broke and you lost that. That's okay. Jesus says, I got you. He says, I'm going to give you hundreds of mothers in the church. And he says, when? Now. He says the word now. He says, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time? He's not going to wait. He's going to give you those mothers. And so for whatever reason, maybe your mom had a trauma in her past. Maybe she was a drug addict. Maybe she was just physically abused, sexually abused. For whatever reason, she lacked the capacity to nurture and love you. Some trauma, maybe she just checked out. I don't know, but you lost that. Jesus is saying, I got you. I'm going to give you hundreds of mothers now. And I just think many people here today would testify yes and amen to that. Like, amen. Does anyone here have spiritual moms that they have? I mean, I got a bunch of them. And they loved and cared and nurtured and spoke life into us in a way that we desperately needed, at a time that we desperately needed it. And we need to recognize that that's God providing that for us that maybe we didn't get from our biological mom. I mean, I feel like I have dozens of them, and some of them are even younger than me, and they still are able to fulfill that nurturing spiritual mother role, and I'm so grateful for them. So the Bible's saying there are biological moms worthy of honor, and then I'm going to give you some spiritual moms, because in a fallen world, in a sinful world, sometimes things get twisted. Amen. Sometimes things get broken. And even if they get twisted, I got you. Amen. That's just such an awesome, I never noticed that. It's so awesome. There is a saying, a quote that I really like. Okay, so both biological moms and spiritual moms reflect the nurturing nature of God. Okay, that's what they reflect. That's what, like, when you see a woman being nurturing, to your spirit just kind of testifies to that. Like, that's what God's like. Amen. When you see him, like right now, we're looking at it right there on the front row. Like, that's what God's like, you know? Yeah. That's what it is. So here's the quote. If I can find it. Jill Churchill says this: there is no way to be a perfect mother, but there's a million ways to be a good one. Come on. And so as I was prepping for this, I was going to kind of pick my first thought was, okay, let's pick some of the million ways that we can be a good mom and just talk about that. But then it dawned on me that, like, there's no cookie cutter recipe to being a good mom because kids are so radically different.
Yeah.
Like, they're just all different. And as I'm looking at, like, these parenting experts, these people who wrote these parenting books, I'm just struck with, man, somehow God has given you wildly obedient children.
Yeah, right.
And you've just decided to write about it.
Yes.
You've just decided, let's write a book about this. And because I'm just telling you, man, you didn't have that one kid. You had that one that makes you crazy, makes you think you're going out of your mind. Everything you try, like, nothing works on. But, like, kids are so unique, man. And when you start saying, hey, this is how to be a good mom, man, you don't know that kid. You don't know if that's going to work on them. I noticed some books would be like, you got to show them grace. You got to show them all grace. And I'm just going to tell you, if you show Shelby enough grace, he'll burn down the Western Hemisphere. He will. Okay? And so other schools of thought are like, okay, then be rigid. But, like, some kids have trauma and hurt and things that you don't even know about. And if you're rigid with them, you might snatch their soul out of them. You might scar. So there's no way to be a perfect mom. It's like, what do? It's confusing, right? And then you throw in all these, like, people that are parenting publicly on Instagram, you know, and they're feeding their kids organic snacks, and you can't give them sugar and high fructose corn syrup or anything with dye in it. It's like, well, what else is there? There are no other snacks, you know, and it's just this weight that they put on you. All these things, they just scream at you and pressure you to be perfect. And that's why I love her quote. There's no way to be a perfect mom.
Right.
There's no way to be a perfect mom. But listen, man, who's asking you to be? Who's asking you to be a perfect mom? My guess is you are. My guess is the enemy is. See, if the accuser can convince you that you have got to be perfect and that God doesn't use your shortcomings and failures to shape you and mold you and actually save you and grow you and mature you in him, because we forget that sometimes. If we forget that all our failures and shortcomings, God works for the good, Romans 8:28. So instead, man, why don't we just fix our eyes on him? Instead of looking at all the ways we can be good mothers, let's just look at the one who can do all things.
Amen.
Things that we can't imagine, right? And so that's what we're going to do. So we looked at motherhood according to the Bible, like a reflection of the nature and character of God, particularly his nurturing capacity as it relates to his character. And now I want to look at what I'm just calling the godness of God. The godness of God. And what I mean by that is these are things that are uniquely his, and none of us have any of this stuff. This is all him, and no one else has it. And so I'm going to look at three things, and they're going to be the O words that we get confused a lot, right? And the first one is, God is omniscient. Okay, and so when we say that God is omniscient, we're saying that God has the capacity to know everything.
Yeah.
He knows it all. Like, the Bible portrays God's knowledge as unlimited, comprehensive, and perfect in every way. And our knowledge, although some of us think we know it all, our knowledge is bound. It's bound to space and time. Like, in other words, we can know only what we know in regards to the space that we're in and the time that we're in. And it stops right there. But God is not like that. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God knows everything that has ever happened in the universe and how that event that happened thousands of years ago led into this event happening on this corner of the universe, that led into this event, to that event, to all of our personal lives, how they all work together. He sees it all. He knows it all. Nothing overwhelms him. Nothing catches him by surprise. He never gets tired. He never gets overwhelmed. He does not need methylene blue to get through the day. He doesn't need 3 cups of coffee to get through the day. He knows it all, and nothing takes him by surprise. And so God knows everything. Okay, and check this out. You don't. You can't. Okay, so I really just want to speak, and I say that because I want to speak to the people, mothers in particular, that have a tendency to beat themselves up because you wish you would have.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, How could you have? Come on, man. Like, we're just so limited in what we know. How could you have known? God alone is omniscient. Paul speaks on the knowledge of God in Romans 11. He says, "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" So I just want to say this to all of us, in particular to the moms. He knows. Amen. He sees and he knows. And here's a couple of things that he knows. Okay? He knows those raw, brittle places in you. He knows them. He knows that you're imperfect. He knows that you make messes. He knows that you stumble about. None of it is surprising to him. None of it wants, he doesn't wish that he had a redo or a mulligan on you. He knows it all. None of it disqualifies you. Like, he knows that you're human. Amen. Do you know that you're human? Do you know that you are? I'm betting that no one in here is meaner to you than you are. You want me to say it louder? I'm betting that no one is meaner to you than you. That's why we need to work the steps. He's not called you to perfection. Demonic powers and principalities will call you to perfection, but he doesn't. And see, the God of the Bible doesn't call you to perfection, but he calls you to rest in his all-knowing rule and reign, knowing that we're not going to quite fully understand it, but we have to trust it. And how do we just trust it? Man, we look at the cross. We look at Jesus' move towards us in love. How in our darkest moments, and I just imagine your darkest moment right now. That thing that you did, man, when you were so far away from God, he still looked down and said, "That's my beloved. Amen. He's worthy of dying for. She's worthy of dying for." That's how we trust in his all-knowing. Because the cross of Christ proves Jesus' constant move towards us. No matter what mistakes that we make, no matter what that we do. But we tend to get bogged down in our understanding sometimes because we are physical body, we're not spirit, we are in this physical form, we're not all-knowing like God is all-knowing, like he is eternal. And because he is all-knowing, because he's eternal, this is good news. Because he has a capacity for intimacy that blows away our capacity for intimacy. We can rest in him. He even sees those places in us that we can't see in ourselves. Tim Keller has a quote, interesting quote. Chew on this one. "You are far more sinful than you think you are, and you're far more loved than you could ever imagine."
Yeah. Woo.
Yeah. God in his omniscience knows our motives. He knows the twisted motives behind the good things that everyone gives you praise for. You know, like all those good things that you do, you know, you can do good and right and put it on Facebook, but you'll have, not even maybe recognize it, but you'll have this twisted motive and everyone around you is like, "You're amazing." But really it's just manipulation, it's control, it's selfishness, it's pride, it's ego, it's something else. He sees it and he still moves towards you with grace and love and opportunity for maturity and growth. You know, I was having breakfast with a guy this morning. Stefan is back. He wants to come soon. But we were talking about some of the stuff he was doing and some of the stuff I was doing. I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he was just like, "You know, I just have a feeling that on that day when we come into glory, the things that we think are big kind of ministry things, God's going to be like, 'You know what, man, that was just all pride and ego. But that one time that you stopped and you prayed for that homeless guy, yeah, man, here's a crown.
Right on.
That one time that you stopped and maybe bought a cheeseburger at McDonald's for that guy,
yeah,
like, man, here's a crown." And he's like, "And we're not even going to remember it, probably." Yeah. We're going to be like, "When did we do that?" But isn't that in the scriptures?
Yeah.
But on that day, he's like, "Lord, when did we see you thirsty and give you a drink?
Yeah.
When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we come and visit?" You know, they don't even remember. And so I just want to say that to encourage everyone. Like, man, the little things are important to God. These big things, man, they tend to puff up our ego and pride. I can only speak for myself. I'm not trying to put that on everyone. But let's pay attention to the little tiny things, because I think we might be surprised when we get up there and we see what was really truly important to him. I mean, he's going to use all of it,
yeah.
Right? But
yeah.
Anyway, just an interesting conversation I had this morning. All right, he's never disgusted. He always moves toward us with love and grace. I'm saying that again. I know I just said that, but we need to hear that. When we stumble and fall, moms, he's always moving towards us. He is omniscient. I also put, he knows your fears and desires for your family. He knows how it will all end. He knows your great, 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 great grandchildren's names and all of their days.
Amen.
And another thing I put is, it's hard for us to play the long game when we are in pain and when the unknown bears its weight on us. Like, we get ate up with anxiety, man, sometimes. I get ate up with anxiety, this fear, and we just want the pain to stop. We just want the, man, this thing that could happen 6 months down the road, a year down the road, especially as it relates to kids and being a mom. Like, we can get ate up with that, but to rely on the one who already knows,
come on,
rather than us, it's to receive rest rather than to receive anxiety. I know that's easier said than done. Especially for me, I struggle with that, but I'm getting better. I'm being intentional in that area. All right. So the second thing I put here, not only does he know everything and how everything fits together and works together and all this, but he can actually do something about it.
Come on.
He's not just omniscient, he is omnipotent. And this means that he has the power to do anything. Anything. God has the power to do anything. Like, there's no power that can get in the way of the sovereign rule of God. Nothing can get in the way of what he wants to do. And I had to remember that today, man. I was pulling in the parking lot, and I got a call from a guy that he's been up here a few times. He's always real throwed off. His name is Matt Stinson. And she's like, hey, man, he's really struggling. I'm going to do this little call with you and his sister. I just want y'all to pray over him. Can y'all just pray over him? And I had to fight the urge to just be like, man, we've been praying for this brother for 10 years, you know? But like, nothing can get in the way of what God wants to do. And I just had to remember my own story. Like, how long did people pray for me? Like, no one thought I was getting sober. Neither did I. And yet God is able. So my prayer was simply, God, would you just touch him like you touched me in that room August 11th? Because I know that you're able and I know that you can. But the world will try to feed us this false narrative, right? And tell us, try to convince us that there's like some kind of war going on between, you know, God and then darkness. Like, it's this battle and it's two equal forces, and one might win and one might not win. And often the world will make you think that evil wins. Like if you watch the movies, like I was trying to come up with a movie, but in The Exorcist, right? You see that? Anybody watch that crazy movie? You got that priest in there, man. He's battling it out with these demons, and you just kind of know, right? Like, this dude's toast. Like, he ain't gonna win. Like, this girl's gonna spit on him, like crab crawl backwards up the wall, come down, rip his head off. Like, you just kind of know, right? And like, he's gonna try, right? He's gonna have a cross and some holy water, and he's gonna start saying some things in Latin or something. But he's not gonna have any success. That's what the world wants to tell you. And if we're not careful, okay, we can either subconsciously or consciously begin to mistakenly believe that there's some other power that at times has more power than the creator God of the universe. And that's just not the case.
Amen.
That's just not the case. And if you spend some time reading the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus never gets into an argument with a demon.
Right.
Never. It's like, do this. Okay.
Yeah.
Come out. Go over here. Okay. We're going to come out, but can we go into the pigs?
Yeah.
Do we have your permission to go into the pigs?
Yeah.
Have you come to kill us before the appointed time? Like, this is not dialogue of people that want to like throw it, thinks they can win.
Right.
They're not throwing hands with Jesus.
Yeah.
They, it's just power made manifest. Like in there's no struggle there. I challenge you, find a struggle with Jesus and a demon.
Yeah.
He says, do this, okay, they do it. And so it's just this power made manifest in Christ concerning principalities and powers of the darkness. And I want to remind everybody, and I want to remind myself, that this power is made available to his sons and daughters who submit and get all in with him. I just love this. All right, Colossians 1 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And I love this next sentence because I believe this is the heart of mothers. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Amen. Like if I watch my wife and our family, she's trying to hold it all together. Yeah. You know, she's got Shelby. We got four dogs. Two of them are puppies. We got a possum. We got a pet monkey. Yeah. I'm just kidding. My mom has been lovingly coined the phrase pet monkey. I won't tell you how that name came about. And she has a husband like me. She has a husband like me, and she's just trying to keep it all together for us, man. And she carries this weight that's unique, and it's different to how I try to hold it all together. But it's God's power alone that sovereignly rules over it all. And if you don't get that, if you don't understand that, I'm going to say it again. It's God's power alone that sovereignly rules over it all. We can try the best we can to hold it all together. We can make all of our efforts, but his power rules over that. And if you don't get that, if you forget that, if you don't know that in the moment, then you will manipulate and control rather than rest and wait on the Lord, which is my struggle. It's my struggle, but I'm getting better. I'm working, I'm being intentional to try to rest in him and just maybe not make that comment, you know, and just not do that. Because check this out, our manipulation and control always makes things messier and not, it never makes things cleaner. And I've just learned that through bitter experience, man. But do you know why that is? It's because we can't see. We're not omniscient like he is. So we will, without knowledge, try to manipulate and control to an end that's not the one that the scripture has laid out for us. And you see, I just want instant gratification. I just want this thing to be fixed. I just want this thing that's been happening for months maybe to just be fixed in an instant, all right? And that's not the way that the scriptures lay it out. The one that's laid out in the scriptures is like fruitfulness in time. In time, but I want my way right now. I want this thing right now. But if long-term fruitfulness is the game, if we can get that on our mind and in our hearts, the long game, then man, that frees me up in that moment to trust the Lord in his long game and to take all my troubles and all my angst to the Lord in prayer and trust that he will make a way. Amen. That God can do this, whatever it is, in a way that I can't. Or maybe in a way that I never even thought of. That's what usually happens. It's like, oh my gosh, that whole thing just worked out. Right. You know, and I was just giving all kinds of mental energy to that thing. And just all kinds of angst just rising up. Like, God is able. He has the power to do anything. He lets us breathe and rest rather than manipulate and try to control. But to do that, we must be in prayer. Prayer is so important if we're going to be free from manipulation and control. Prayer is so important to take all of these things to him. And I'm not talking about just a little popcorn prayer, you know, like we pray over our McDonald's. And I'm just saying, God ain't blessing your McDonald's, all right? Shouldn't eat McDonald's, all right? It's terrible for you. But we just throw up these little prayers, these little, and we need to spend some time, man. We need to spend some time in prayer. It's so important. It's so missed in churches these days, because there will be no, this is what I put, there will be no rest if you think that you're God. And I know no one would say that I think that I'm God, but we all have tendencies and we all have certain times that we behave like we are God. Our actions show that we think that we're God. Maybe we're not saying that, or maybe we're not, but when I'm just barking at my family, trying to get something done, trying to make something happen, trying to just force that square peg into that round hole, I'm playing God. And page 62 of the big book says this is the how and the why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. So the writers of the big book, are they're giving this, they're painting on a canvas this image of a arch, like the one in St. Louis, big giant arch. And this is the key to our recovery. Like, we're going to pass through this to freedom, but this arch is being held up by the keystone, which is that pie-shaped piece right in the middle. Without that piece, the whole thing falls down. And he's saying this keystone is that we got to quit playing God. Like, that's going to hold our whole recovery up. I don't care what you're recovering from. Like, you must get this down. We have to stop playing God. Okay, but we all have a tendency at times, under certain stressors and circumstances and conditions, to behave like we think we're God. And we wouldn't say it again, but that's what our actions show. But don't feel bad. This has been the problem with God's people ever since Genesis chapter 3, right? Like, this is not new to us. We just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again, which blows my mind of the holiness of God and his uniqueness to love us, even as we just continue to do that over and over and over again. It's just amazing. The third thing I got is that he's not just all-knowing, he's not just all-powerful, but he is also omnipresent. He is present everywhere, in all spaces, in all places, all the time. And he is in his fullness everywhere at all times. And he's never diminished by being everywhere. Like, he's never spread too thin, okay? And we need to get this, okay? He is fully present at the far reaches of the universe, and he's fully present in this room right now, and he's not any less in this room because he's everywhere else. He is just as fully present as he is now. He is spirit, he is eternal, and he's everywhere at once in a way that we can't even wrap our minds around. But sometimes we, through technology, right, we can get this idea that, hey man, there's moments I can be in two places at once. There's times I can be omnipresent, but that's usually at the expense of just being present, period. And what I mean by that is, like, we have like Life 360 apps where we can track our kids and our family members. People have cameras up all over their house. Like, you can literally be sitting in your bedroom and be like, I wonder what the kids are doing. Well, let me see, you know? But so you have this illusion that you're in two places at one time. But while I'm looking at the camera, I'm not really in this room because I'm paying attention to the camera. And then if I get back into this room, I'm not really in this room. And then what happens? I'll get a notification, and then I'll be on Facebook doom scrolling, and then I'm in neither place at all. So being the point is, we are diminished when we're in more places than what he is not, because he is holy, he is other than, he is different than us. In every way, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. And this is only good news if he is for us. Amen. It's only good news if he's for us. And he is for us. Amen. The cross of Christ proves that. It shows us that all this knowledge, all this power, and all this presence moves towards us in a love that surrounds us, just envelopes us when we need it, nurtures us when we need it. He's all around us, wooing us, so we can just let it all go and rest at his feet, knowing that he is for us and not against us, knowing that there's no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ Jesus, and that there's no expectation of perfection, okay, laid upon us, but there's just the freedom to trust in his love and keep walking in grace, man, just keep walking. I tell people this all the time. Yeah, you're in the valley, but you know how you get to the mountaintop? You keep walking. You don't stop. You don't give up. You don't. You just keep walking. And then this wonderful grace that Jesus pours out on us. What Jesus pours out on us. But what crushes moms, right, is this idea, this lie, that what God expects of you is perfection. And that you'll somehow screw up your kids if you're not perfect. And listen, man, We are all on a collision course with a meeting with our kids one day where they're going to tell us how we let them down. And I just, you know, we're human. And I just want to, I'm going to pause the sermon real quick. When Tina was up here talking about that thing she never talks about, her kids, man, I just felt the Holy Spirit banging on my heart because I don't talk about mine because it's too painful. I was an absolute terror in my 20s and 30s, and I hurt them, and I pushed them away, and they don't forgive me, and I don't have communication with them. Many of you don't even know this because I don't talk about it. The question I hate the most when I meet somebody is, hey, you got any kids?
Yeah.
I hate that question, and so I just, the Holy Spirit's like, hey, man, you need to bring this into the light tonight when Tina was speaking. And so I have a son named Braden that's 31 years old. He lives in North Texas. I have a daughter named Jada that's 28. She lives in Florida. They do let me message them, one on Instagram. One, I have his cell phone. I've been messaging them for ever since I've been sober. They read it, but I've gotten nothing back from them. So if there's if you got room on your prayer list, man, pray for Logan and restoration for his children. And I have a 15-year-old named Hogan that his grandparents absolutely hate me. They have him, thank God, but I mean, it's justified. But, you know, my hope is that one day, you know, a few years, he's going to be a man, and maybe he'll pop up on social media, and I'll be able to have a relationship with him. So there it is. I just wanted to, I just felt like I should share that when Tina was sharing, you know. So, all right, back to the sermon. We're all on a collision course. Thanks for letting me share. We're all on a collision course with look, the point is we're going to let our kids down, okay? We're humans, all right? Now, the way you are, the way we are, no doubt is shaping and molding beautiful things in our kids, but the way we are is also hurting them in ways that we don't even know about, ways that you don't even know about because we aren't perfect. We are human. And listen to me, it's okay. Like, God is able. God loves your kids more than you do. God loves your kids with a love that we can't even wrap our mind around. And man, we need to rest in that. And I want you to hear that, okay? Because what your kids need the most from you, mom, is not perfection, but it's your heart fully alive in Jesus.
Amen.
Your heart fully alive in Jesus. Not this relentless pursuit of perfection where you constantly feel like you're falling short and you run away from God and you feel less than and you're frustrated and you're irritable because you just can't measure up to something that no one asked you to measure up to. But the beautiful good news of the gospel is, hey, you can step into the grace and love of Jesus and rest and let the overflow of that love, of his love, the love relationship with Jesus, you can let that overflow bless your family and your household. And it will, because life is hard, man. Things happen, right? Some of you are single mothers with all the challenges that that brings. Some of you have husbands that are struggling, husbands that are basically little boys that can shave. Some of you have kids that are struggling. Relapse happens. Unexpected expenses happen. A bad report from the doctor happens. All these things pile up on top of just motherhood in general. And it's like life happens and you just get this unexpected stress and weight of life that's getting lifey and all of that while trying to manage the kids and the house and the dogs and the possums, if you got them. It can be exhausting. And so what do you do with all of that? I mean, there's only one thing you can do. Well, there's two things you could do. You could manipulate and control.
Yeah.
Get that rubber mallet out. Then I'm going to get this square peg because I know it goes there. And you can just beat the crap out of yourself, or you can step into the beauty of the gospel.
Amen.
And rest. And the thing that kept sticking out to me while I was preparing this message was just the holiness of God. Like, no one is like this. I just keep messing up, y'all, in ways that I messed up when I first got sober. Like, I think I would get over anger and lashing out, and I'd be fine for a while, and then it happened again, and I'm like, golly, am I still struggling with this? Am I still not over this? Did I do that thing again? But how incredible is God that he keeps moving towards me in that? Like, no one else loves like he loves.
Amen.
No one else has his patience. No one is as steadfast as he is, and no one keeps getting up and moving towards us again and again and again. No one forgives over and over and over and over and over with new mercies every single morning after morning after morning. And guys, we need to hear this, and that needs to be in our hearts, because our minds and the world and the enemy will tell us all this crap if we don't remember this, that he is always forgiving. He has always got new mercies every morning. And so here's the invitation for all of us that I want, and especially to invite you as mothers today, spiritually or biologically, and this is Jesus in front of a crowd, extends the invitation again in Matthew 11, 28. He says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, it's just like, take my yoke upon you, like you're following someone, you're living for someone. He's saying, hey, come and take my yoke. Come live for me, because my yoke is easy and light in comparison to manipulation and control and striving and perfection. And so here's how I want to close. The band can come back up now. And it's really cool to be able to say that. And just Roger just keeps sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to close with, we're just going to play a song for 5, 6, 7 minutes. And listen, the offer of rest, I think, requires a certain level of repentance. Like if you're haunted by anxiety and anger, self-hate, or if in any way this rest has eluded you, especially as a mother or anyone really, like I know there are moments in your life, especially with your kids, but any area of your life where, man, we just don't know what to do. Like, you don't know what to do. Everything that seems right just seems to make this thing worse. And having children can make it even more complicated and complex and painful, because you just love them so much. You know, you give them a piece of your soul, and it's not like moms, it's not like you can just turn it off, right? It's not like you just, well, I'm going to take a nap and not think about it. It's always with you. It's a weight that's always with you. So the invitation from Jesus to you, from Jesus to you, from Jesus to you, from Jesus to everyone in here is come. Come here. I got that. Come here, you don't have to carry that alone. But to get there, you have to realize, oh my gosh, I'm doing that thing again. That thing where I've created a world where I'm supposed to know everything and have all the answers, and I'm dying in that world. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted in that world. So repentance looks like this. Hey God, I don't know everything, but you do. And I want to trust in what you know rather than what I think I know. Or maybe you're like me, and before you know it, you're just trying to control and manipulate everyone around you just to try to bring some kind of order. Like your heart's good. Your heart's not in a bad place. You're just trying to hold it all together, and you feel like the only way to hold it all together is to manage and manipulate and strive and control and to beat the square peg into the round hole, and it's so exhausting. And Jesus is like, hey, I have the power to actually do this. I have the power to actually do this. Why don't you let me do this thing? Why don't you let me do this thing? And then fear of the future, fear that haunts us, so many of us, especially those with children in this world, this crazy world, what's going on out there, and then what's going to happen, well, that thing could happen 6 months down the road, and how's that going to affect this other thing? And listen, man, we have a God that's already there. He's already there. He's already present there. He knows, and he has the power to do something about it, and he's fully there all the time. And the great thing about repentance, man, I think some people have it wrong. It's like, I know what you're thinking, man. If I come up here today, man, that people are going to think I'm a bad mom, or people are going to think I'm struggling, man. And the beautiful thing about conviction and repentance is that these are invitations to greater rest and intimacy. And so I just want to say this too. If you're here today and you're like, oh my God, you're talking to me. You're speaking to me. I can assure you I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. If anyone's talking to you, it's the Holy Spirit that's talking to you. And we need to respond if he's talking to us. That's him. He's provoking and pressing and wooing and loving like he does. So I want to pray for us, and then there'll be a prayer team up here. And I just want to spend about 5, 6, 7 minutes. All I want to do is create space for whether you're a mom or you're not a mom to come up and say, man, I'm out of gas. And I just want to take your yoke upon me, man. And I just need to repent. I've been relying on my own omnipotence and it's failing me. And I found my heart hurting. And I found myself exhausted. I found my soul dry. And we just want to pray over you and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Maybe you've lost your mother. Maybe you regret some things that went unsaid. And you've been carrying that. You can come and lay that at the feet of Jesus. And you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you've never called upon his name. Maybe you're away from him. Maybe you come to Serenity Church every week, but you never called upon his name. And maybe right now he's convicting you that, hey, man, you're lost. You called on a program. You called on a church. You called on religion, but you never called on my name. We want to give you an invitation to call upon his name. We just want to pray over you and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and to give you the joy of his goodness, resting in his goodness, man, that we might stop striving. And I want you to actually listen. I believe that there is something about somehow God uses your faith and then getting up and moving your physical body, stepping out of your comfort zone. He uses those two things together in the spirit for breakthrough. He uses those things to break chains off of you. So, because I just feel it every week, man. There's people here, they're like, gosh, I want to go up there, but I don't want to be that guy. And I'm telling you, God uses that. And maybe it's something that you've laid down before, but life has thrown you a curveball, and gosh, you just took control again. Like, this is the story of my entire walk, man. I trust him with it all, and then something happens, and I take back control. And then he's like, come on, man, how long? How long this time? You know, I'm like, man, I don't know. So we're all imperfect humans doing the best that we can, but God is for us, and he has all the power, he has all the knowledge, and he is everywhere. He'll never leave us or forsake us, and he's inviting us to repent. He's inviting us to grow spiritually, to mature, and so I'm just going to pray for us and just let the Holy Spirit work among us. Holy Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Serenity Church. I thank you for drawing everyone here tonight. God, you say that no one comes to the Father unless he is drawn. And I know that if you're in this room or if you're watching online, like, God is after you. And I doubt, I have a mentor that tells me all the time, if God's after you, I doubt you're going to get away. And so I thank you for that, God, that you will just continue to pursue, that you will just continue to woo us, God. And I just want to lift up all the moms in here that they might just rest in you. But I pray that you move in this place. God, we are going to give you space to move tonight. And we are asking you to come and touch the hearts of your sons and daughters in whom you are well pleased. And so maybe there's some moms here that are, you know, you were hoping your kids would be at a certain place in a certain season, and they're just far away from that, and the pain that comes with that. God, I just want to pray for them, God, that you would just encourage them, that your sovereign reign rules over all of it, and that you love their kids more than they do, more than we can think, ask, or imagine. And so, God, we love you, and we're just inviting you in to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.